plate a potential nugget.
And going back to one of the things you said, where, again, as a layman, you said the riot case, the investigation of a riot case is different from a murder case, from a rape case. One is sort of the legal element. What is difference from an approach perspective? In what ways?
So a murder case, sometimes there are different kinds of murders. It could be the murder of a husband, a murder of a child, a murder of an acquaintance, or murder of a person even unknown lying on the field. So first thing is to identify the person who has been murdered. Then you have to find out why he has been murdered. Was there some kind of an enmity, or was he responsible for creating a situation in which people could not tolerate what he had done? A husband could be murdered. It could be any reason. Some liaisons are there. That's why he has been murdered. The murder of a woman has also a different connotation. Is she murdered for dowry? Is she murdered because the in-laws are unhappy with her, or the husband doesn't like her? So, and then there is the murder of a child. I've seen it. That is also very unfortunate. I've written, I think, maybe I have not probably written about this, like that in the book, that how parents were standing at a bus stand to go home early in the morning. They were visiting their home in the village. They were standing at the bus stand, and with their five-year-old child, a beautiful child, very fair and good-looking. And one person who came and swooped and picked up the child and went and murdered him and severed his head and offered it in the temple. So between the bus stand and the temple, there was hardly not even half a kilometer. I mean, the parents could see he was carrying the child. And he had murdered. In the morning, the call came. So I went. I mean, this is another kind of a murder. What is the... there is no enmity. There is nothing. This is blind belief or something. The crowd had already gathered, picked up that man and beaten him. And, beaten him so hard that he was unconscious. He had been taken to the hospital. Now, my job as a police officer is to save that person, because he's an accused who should be put up for trial. But let me tell you, that day, I did not bother. I really did not bother about telling the doctors, save him and put him on IV and all. I said, let him die. I mean, I was also so charged. And the doctors told me that, you know, he's got so much of head injuries, there is hardly any chance. And we're in a remote village, in a dispensary he has been put. So I just let it be. So every murder case is different. And how is a murder case different from a riot? In a riot, a situation builds up. Two people are fighting with each other, and this situation is building up, and then they didn't want to kill anybody, but in the heat of the moment, due to a fight or something, arson takes place when they burn houses or they burn cars, they burn buses and all. And in that, somebody may be killed. So that is not premeditated murder. That is a murder which has happened in a riot. So you have to treat this murder as part of a riot case. And then there is that rape and murder. You've already read so much about it, I'm sure, in the social media.
I wanted to pick up on this art of interrogation, you know, and in a way, given the work I do in the corporate side, I used to be a recruiter earlier. And one of the things you're trying to do is to really, you know, people are always telling you nice things about their journey, etc. But your job is to sort of get to the absolute truth, what actually happened. Give us a sense of, if you had to talk about the art of interrogation, what are some of the techniques or practices that let's say the business world could learn from the forces?
So the police force is quite given a bad name because of the interrogation techniques. That, of course, is there.
Right.
And we try more and more not to get into this. And but I will not say that we would have never used it. That harsh interrogation techniques were not used. But let me tell you one thing. There are a lot of... now, of course, we have narco... tests, etc., which can help you, lie detectors and all are there. But your question about genuine interrogation to
true.
Find out
what are some truth. Of the practices which can practices. Be which can be replicated
yes.
or the, which we can learn from.
So one thing I feel is that every person who's committed a crime wants to hide the crime, and maybe perhaps even in your world they may not always be ready to tell you the truth about their careers and all, but it is our job to find out the truth. So you have to persist. And you have to win the confidence of that man that you are ready to help him if he comes out. Hardened criminals will not come out even out of that. They will not tell you. And that is maybe the time when people think that maybe third degree or whatever you've heard of works. Or now third degree is also not possible because these things are now not only looked down upon, but every police station has cameras and, you know, the social media, the minute a criminal is arrested, the entire press comes, the TV comes and all. And even in my times when social media was not there, these things, if you give a license to, then it doesn't stop. So your question is how to find out. I would say that it's also an experience. From experience also you learn. Like you can say after asking 5-10 questions that this man is telling a lie, that this man is not telling a truth. So you have to also build up your own capacities about interrogating and trying to find out the truth. Because every time the intention is to come to the truth, to reach the truth, what is it this is bothering? And if you are a good interrogator or if you are counseling somebody and all, and you would have become an expert, you would have counseled so many people, you can judge that this man is not telling you the truth, but you have to persist. And at one point of time, he will break down and tell you. And in that situation, empathy is very important with the person whom you are talking to. Like for a criminal to talk about his family, his wife, his child. Your child is at home. You should be harassed. What do you think? If you go to school, everybody will talk about you. Why don't you come out clean? Sometimes these things also work and people do tell you the truth. They can tell you the truth. And very often people do a crime in the heat of the moment and they are remorseful and they confess. They confess. But unfortunately, confession to a police officer is not admissible. So we have to find for other evidences to support his confession. And in a murder case, if a man confesses that, yes, I did kill him and I threw my clothes there, then that evidence becomes very admissible because it is evidence leading to discovery of a fact after the confession, which is admissible. So if a firearm has used a katta or a sword or a haswa to kill somebody, and that instrument is discovered, as he says, and there are blood marks, then that gets admissible. And his confession to me also gets admissible. So in the corporate sector, I think you have to build that skill. And you have to reach the truth, and people will break down if you keep on continuously asking that why did you do it, and you know, empathize with that person. Empathy, I think, is I would say is important with that individual.
That's a great point. Actually, in these situations, empathy is not very often. You would think that there isn't a need for empathy because you're questioning him or her.
Huh.
But it's interesting that when you bring empathy, then it's easier for the person to start
yes.
trusting you. And
yes, personally, Deepak, I think empathy is something which I would really put a lot of emphasis when I'm thinking back with you and in your kind of situation. Empathy will play a big role because this is what now I'm doing when I'm counseling younger people. I put myself in their shoes and try to understand things from their perspective. So that helps when I'm a mentor to some girl. I don't only start talking about her work, I go beyond her work. Where is she coming from? What was she doing earlier?
Understanding their world and relating to their world.
I love the point that Manjari makes about the criticality of empathy while conducting an investigation. When I go back to my days as a search consultant at Egon Zehnder, some of the best interviewers were those who would listen intently in the conversation and during the conversation ask the next level of question. The second or the third level of questioning would often reveal the key insight that we're looking for. Sometimes tuning into a person's body language and saying something edgy might open the floodgates. For instance, if it's an individual recounting their career and their voice dips when they talk about a certain stint, we would often make a provocative statement, something like, "So it looks like it wasn't a good stint." And when we said that, very often that would open the floodgates of confession, as one of my colleagues would say it. The key point being, it's about listening very intently, not just to what the person is saying, but being present to the body language that comes with it. Thank you for listening.